Well, we're obviously not going to get into what I thought we were going to, but we want to touch on a few things. You know, the way he does these series, normally when they start, I don't realize they're going to be a series. I just come and teach, and then the next time I get to teach, whatever he says, I teach that. And I had no idea we was going to wind up with a Serving Son series, for example. You know what I'm saying? Well, apparently we're on a Godly Hope type series. He just won't let me talk about anything else, everything that he shows me in my prayer time. Now, why is he doing that? Well, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we have so de-emphasized what hope really is from his point of view that we're going around, I think, from what I'm understanding, going through all the mechanics of faith, when really on the inside of us there is no hope, not really, that things are going to change. But he's telling me if real faith is going to bring substance to hope, hope on the inside of you has to be alive. It has to be a living thing that you can taste, you can touch, you can see it. It has to be more real to you than your circumstances. Now, once that image is there, and again, this is all in the last 2 weeks, once that image is there, then faith simply appropriates from that image. But it's got to be in you first. Got that? And he gave us lots of examples in the natural. Does the baby have to be in the woman before we ever see the baby outside the woman? Absolutely it does, you know? There's conception, there's growth. It's got to come the full image. It's got to be all the parts there and everything. Come to enough level to be birthed, and then you see it. Well, hope is very much like that. Got to have that image. It's got to exist on the inside of you. Now, the title of tonight's lesson is called Christ, Our Hope. And you can be opening your Bibles to two places, Romans 5:17 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. While you're turning there, I'll just talk. While I was praying this morning, just praying over at the ugly building, praying in other tongues, and while I was waiting, you know, to hear his words changed to English, like we've been talking about, and for benefit of the tape, just in case there's someone that hasn't heard this, you need to get Dave Roberson's 2-tape series entitled Distinguishing God's Voice. Now, he teaches in great detail on those 2 tapes what I'm going to summarize in about a minute and just give the skeleton of it. But in a nutshell, it boils down to this. Your reborn human spirit has a spirit mind and has spirit ears. The Holy Spirit himself has a voice. When you're speaking in other tongues, you can pray fairly loud for a while, get those tongues rolling, you know, where it's an easy flow, and then stop talking verbally. In other words, clamp your mouth shut, cleave your tongue to the roof of your mouth, and you can listen. You can still hear those tongues rolling on the inside of you for a while. Now, for me, after about 20, 30 seconds, they fade. I don't know why that part yet. They just do. So I'll start again. And Dave teaches it again in great detail on that set of tapes, which you ought to have. But then Dave said, now when I'm hearing those tongues, what am I hearing? I mean, once I have quit speaking them with my mouth, and now I'm listening, tongues aren't created in the mind. Tongues are created in your spirit. That is the Holy Spirit of God creating words that you are hearing on the inside of you with your spiritual ear. And when you're hearing those tongues, you have located the ear of your spirit. Now, for 6 years, I missed this part off of that set of tapes. Dave says, the same place in you where you hear those tongues, where you hear him speaking to you in those tongues, is the same place in you where you'll hear him speaking to you in English or Spanish or Chinese or whatever your native tongue is. Boy, I missed that for 6 years. And I suggest you practice it and practice it. It didn't happen the first time I tried it. Didn't happen the second or third time I tried it. Well, how long should I do that? Until you're hearing him. Just that simple. There's a phrase in the Bible that says, they that wait upon the Lord. You need to learn to wait upon him. And I'm finding out it's not so much like he's holding back to see if you'll pray long enough. It's really more matter. It's kind of like Elijah, the type and shadow from the Old Testament. Remember, he wanted to hear from God, so he went to his cave. What came first? Wasn't it a great storm? I may have the order mixed up, but a great wind and a fire and a storm, and I don't know what all, but God wasn't in any of that. And that's kind of the way it is when you try and get quiet and hear God for yourself. Normally, if my mind is reminding me of all my problems, oh, if you don't handle this, and if that doesn't happen, and oh, God, if that over there, and if the money doesn't come today, and oh, you know, storms, lightning, you know, God's not in any of that. You just got to keep on praying past that. It's not a matter of him holding back. It's a matter of us getting quiet, quiet in spirit. Remember what he said a week or two ago? He says, my leadership is found in my peace. You've got to get that calmness of spirit on the inside. That's when you start hearing that still, small voice, which is him. Glory to God. Well, anyway, while I was doing that this morning, somebody fix that clock. It must be broken. Oh. My watch, too. Oh, we'll just touch on this tonight. While I was praying this morning, the first thing that kept floating up in English to me when I was praying, I kept hearing these three words, just three words, and it was Christ our hope. Christ our hope. And I kept praying and I kept hearing that. Christ our hope. Christ our hope. Now, I knew that the Bible said Christ is our life. Christ is our life, you know. But this was saying Christ our hope, those three words. So it just kept coming, and it wouldn't like go anywhere else. I mean, he wouldn't let me go into anything else. That's all that kept coming. So I have a little laptop that I take over to the ugly building just for this kind of emergency, and it's got one of those Bible search programs in it, you know. So I went in there and hooked it up, and I did a search through the New Testament for those three words, Christ, our hope. And it came up empty. Those three words, just like that, did not appear. And I'm going, well, I must have missed it. I know the Holy Spirit knows the Bible. That must have just been me. So I don't get all down and like I used to. Anytime I used to with it, where I thought I'd miss it, I had to repent. I had to go through 2 weeks of self-torture before I would really believe that the blood had cleansed me and I could have fellowship with God. And I finally, the Holy Spirit got it across to me, that's just 2 weeks lost every time. That blood is available. I mean, you know, even if you really do miss it, that blood's available. That's why Dave says, I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out from under this morning, you run to God, not from him. That blood is, there's no point in you, I mean, really what that is, going through 2 weeks of, oh, I failed God. Well, big deal. Like he didn't know it, you know? And what that really is, that's not a whole lot different from what they did back in Martin Luther's day where they do self-penance, you know. Well, if I feel bad for 2 weeks, maybe he'll forgive me. No, he'll forgive you. The blood's already been shed. There's no point you losing 2 weeks. You come out from underneath that slimy rock. You repent. You go to 1 John 1:9. You get cleansed by the blood and you start worshiping God, praying in the Spirit, and reading your Bible. And he'll come. That blood will cleanse you. Don't lose 2 weeks every time. We don't have 2 weeks every time. This thing's winding down, you know. A lot of souls to be saved. We got a city to be won here. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, so I said, well, I must have missed it, you know. I go back out the door and I'm praying again in other tongues and here it comes again. Christ our hope. Christ our hope. And I'm going, you know, so I got to thinking about that now. You know, the Holy Spirit, I just touched on this a little bit last Wednesday. He's been teaching me that really, all those messages, and they're all okay, but all those messages we've heard about the promised land. See, when you first get started, I mean, we're so needy. At least I was. I needed God in every area of my life. Finances, marriage, healing, you name it. So to me, everything was a promised land. Oh, I need to possess prosperity. I need to possess some healing. Sue and I need to possess some joy in our marriage here, you know. We need to possess all these things. And so to me, that was kind of the promised land. And that's okay. You got to start somewhere. But how many of y'all remember what Brother Dinikrin told Pastor Dave? Brother Dinikrin was given the assignment by Jesus to win 1 billion souls in India. How would you like that cross to bear? In India, I forget the numbers now, but there's millions of gods that they worship. And they've been raised in this. I mean, for hundreds or if not thousands of years, this is what he's up against. And I don't know what they called them there. It would be the equivalent of witch doctor or shaman, you know. But certain of their religious people, they've gotten in contact with what the Bible calls a demonic power. And they can do certain things. And, they might levitate off the floor. You know, all that stuff about walking across hot coals and nails and stuff like that. So Brother Dinikrin, you know, he's going, well, if I'm going to win 1 billion souls for you, Jesus, I got to have more power, you know. So he's getting ready to, you know, so he's starting to worship God, and he's going to go ask the Father for more power. He says, if I'm going to win 1 billion souls for you in this country, I mean, I gotta have more power. And he's almost ready to do that. And the Holy Spirit speaks up and says, don't ask for power. Don't ask for more power. Well, what should I ask for? Ask for more of Jesus. Ask for more of him. Well, this lesson today, by the time we get through here, he kept saying, Christ our hope. He's saying, well, what? I don't see how this ties together. You will. Because what he's been teaching me that really, really, what our promised land is, our promised land, it's really not prosperity. It's really not healing. You know what our promised land is? Well, you do because you was here last Wednesday. No. It's the life of Christ in fullness. Remember that vision that I read to you that he gave me Sunday morning? In that vision, I was just a beggar, dirty and stinking. I just wanted to be close to the life. That made me happy. Oh, if I could just worship you, Jesus, if I could just stay close enough to see what you're doing and be near that life that's in you, that makes me happy. But that wasn't enough for him. He says, no, son, look at me on the cross. I'm suffering all this so that you don't have to just be near my life. I'm suffering this that my life can be in you. Now that is the grace of God, where he gives the life of his son to dead sinners. I certainly qualify. Now that's why I wanted you to turn to Romans 5:17. It says here, for if by one man's offense, who would that be? That's Adam. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. All right, now, understanding that when he says grace here, see what he's saying? When you were born physically the first time, you didn't have a choice, did you? You was born with the life and the death nature of Adam in your spirit. And because of that offense, what he's talking about, one man's offense, every generation that proceeded from him, we're born with that death nature. You didn't have a choice. That's why God sent his son on that cross to make his life available to us by grace. You can't earn it. All you can do is receive it, if you will. But now notice how Paul worded this. Those that receive, let me get it exactly, they which receive abundance of grace. Now, if you can receive the abundance of something, that means a measure, doesn't it? Abundance? How many of you have been in lack before? Let me see your hand. How many of you have been in abundance? How many like abundance better? We're talking a measure here, right? Okay? If it's possible to receive the abundance of that life, then it's also possible to receive a little of it. And I'm convinced that's where most of us in the whole church world is. We receive because we haven't understood these things. We didn't even know it was the will of the Father. We receive such a tiny little fraction of that life that really He wants us to receive abundance of grace. Well, that's good, Gary. How would I go about doing that? Well, that's what we're, Dave and I, and that's what we're all teaching on, because when we get that life manifested in here in abundance, that's when we're going to wallpaper these walls with canes and crutches and stretchers and everything else. Hallelujah. Anyway, I kept meditating on these things. I remembered that verse in Romans 5:17. And it kept coming up again in me. Christ our hope. Christ our hope, you know. So I went back, finally, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later, I went back in and I got that laptop out again and I did another search. And this time I just searched for the two words in the New Testament, our hope. And guess what? I found 3, 4, 5 verses. And I got to looking through them. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. But now, if you've got a King James Bible, notice that which is italicized. Those words aren't even in the original Greek. They were just added at the discretion of the translators because they thought it would help us understand it. But if you really read that verse, just like it is in the Greek, it says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ our hope. There's my three words. Christ, our hope. And once again, the Holy Spirit proved to me that He knows the Bible better than I do. Now, what is hope? Christ is our hope, this says. Hope is the image that you have on the inside of you. Let's not even talk about faith for a minute. Let's talk about hope. If the Bible says Christ is our hope, Christ, our hope. What is hope? Hope is the image that you have on the inside. And as we mentioned in the last couple of weeks, that's why now I understand better why you can have people that are saying the right confessions with their mouth, but yet they die of cancer or whatever, or their marriage falls apart anyway, or their finances fall apart anyway. See, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, y'all remember the Spirit's definition of hope? What has been is not what shall be. Now, what that means is, I don't care if your body is 98.9% eat up with cancer. Christ is your hope. And if you can ever get Christ manifested in your hoper, I don't know how else to say it. If you could ever get Christ, the healer, in your hope, where He stands up full stature, Christ the Lord, your healer. And you see an image on the inside of you of whatever it was you used to do before you got sick. Maybe you like to go snow skiing. And you see yourself, bless God, snow skiing again. This cancer that's been eating up your body, what has been is not what shall be. I am healed. Now, when you start saying that, that's when faith starts appropriating from the hope. But many people say it when on the inside they don't see it. And if you can't see it, faith can't bring it. Got that? Now, getting back to this life of Christ. The image, hope is the image that you have on the inside of you. Now, going over to Hebrews 11:1, I know you know it by heart, but go look at it anyway. Hebrews 11:1. Now, anytime, I mean, I'm not an English major or anything like that, but I did go through school, you know. If you find a word that is identical in meaning to another word, can't you substitute the other word in a sentence? Isn't that right? Okay. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11:1 in a little different light. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what we've been talking about, right? Now what did 1 Timothy 1:1 tell us? Christ, our hope. Christ is the image that we are to hold on the inside of us. Get this. That life is the promised land. His life in fullness, I'm talking about, is our inheritance. As we allow that image of Christ to stand up to full measure within our hope, faith now has something to give substance to. And the very life of Christ can be manifested through us. Now get this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Christ, our hope. Can I substitute that for the word hope for? What if I did it like this? I'm going to say it first so you be sure, you know, so I don't want to lead you into something you might think is wrong, so let's listen to it. Then I'm going to lead you if you want to go. Now faith is the substance of Christ in me, the evidence of things not seen. Now why does it say that part? Y'all look at Andy. Stand up, Andy. Andy, stand up. Stand up. We have no evidence at all. I mean, this is a faith deal. You got me? We look at Andy and we go, yeah, right. I can pick on me, but, you know, I pick on Andy because he loves me. He ain't going to hit me, I hope. But sit down for a minute. Now, with each and every one of you, if you went in front of the mirror, you'd look in that mirror. Plus you know what you did yesterday. Plus you know what you said that was ugly to that person. And plus you know how all of your failures in the past would heap upon your shoulders. And you'd go, I certainly have no evidence. There is no evidence in the natural that Christ is in me. You have to take it by faith, don't you? But now here's the whole deal. When he showed me that vision of him on the cross and he says, I'm suffering all of this in order that my life can be in you. Now what am I going to do now? Am I going to keep looking at the evidence of me as I see me in a natural mirror? Or am I going to look in the mirror of this word and see that it plainly says, Christ, my hope. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Christ is my hope. Christ in me, the Bible says. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in me. Let me substitute that into Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of Christ in me. Now when it says substance, it means tangible. Boy, I understand that when it this takes anything that's tangible. Do y'all remember what was her name? Emily Dotson? It was here two or three of the conferences. Doctors had given her up to die. Her body was completely gone with lupus. They had done everything medically possible. There just wasn't anything more to do for her. Sent her home to die. Get your affairs in order. You know, you should have your family make you as comfortable as they can. There's nothing that can be done, Emily. You have to die. Let's see now. And now listen, lupus has a substance. You know, cancer has a substance. Back pain has a substance. You know? It's what I'm saying is you can feel it. Lupus. You think she felt that in her body? I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it seems like I remember them saying she was down to like around 90 pounds, 95 pounds, something like that. Looks bad. But she went to work on her hope. And she started taking scriptures that defined Christ, her healer. She quit looking at her body best she could, and she would close her eyes and walk around that coffee table of hers, saying verses such as, Jesus, you are my healer. By your stripes I am healed, Jesus. You bore my sicknesses. You carried my pain. You've already bore this lupus. It's illegal for it to be in my body. Lupus, I'm talking to you. Get out of my body. I will live and not die. What has been is not what shall be. I've been sick unto death. That's what's been. But I'm telling you, that's not the way it's going to be. I see myself well. And she did it, and she did it, and she did it. 9 months. One night she counted her trips around the coffee table. It was around 600 times. What's she doing? She's getting the image of Christ, the healer, in her. Now, faith is the substance of Christ in Emily. And when hope was full grown, and her words appropriated by faith from that hope, the substance of Christ the healer drove the substance of lupus out of her body. Glory to God. Now every person in the sound of my voice, I've noticed that heathen don't very often order Christian teaching tapes. If you're hearing my voice, whether you're in this room or whether you're hearing it by tape, most likely you're born again. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, that says Christ is in you. You can't be born again unless you've got a new spirit from Him, and His life inhabits that spirit. So what's the problem? Well, let me ask you this. When God the Father first told Israel, see, this land that flows with milk and honey, it's a wonderful land. It's a delightsome land. You'll love this land. And I have given it unto you. The first group came up. They just sent spies over. They come back saying, no, it's not possible for us to possess a land like that. There's too many enemies there, and they're too strong for us. You know what the church has been doing all this time? What God has done, really, He has sent life packaged in human flesh. We call Him Jesus. And we watch Him through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a man with the life of God in him, clothed in mortal flesh, baptized in the Holy Ghost. We see Him walking free of sin, walking free of sickness Himself, but not only that, we see Him anointed to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, do we not? You know what He's done there? He's saying, see this land. I want you to see this life that I have spread before you. It is your inheritance. It's yours if you will possess it by faith. But what we've done, we're a lot like Israel. We've come up and we've admired the life, like that beggar in that vision. We've followed the life. We've studied the life. We've worshiped Jesus from afar. We've not considered His life as a land to be inhabited, as a land to be possessed ourselves, to be occupied. Amen? But what He's saying is, what if you just took that concept that the life of Christ in fullness? What kind of stuff are you talking about, Gary? Well, again, from last week's tape, since I heard it 4 times. How many of y'all think Jesus today is concerned that the devil might be victorious over Him? No. That is your inheritance. You mean I could live like that? Yes. How many of y'all think today that Jesus might be just a little concerned that the Father may be condemning Him today? He's just kind of having one of those days, you know. Just Blue Monday. I'm just not sure Father loves me today. I don't know what it is. He doesn't have any days like that, does He? He doesn't intend for you to have any days like that either. Well, yeah, but Jesus, He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Let's see now. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm telling you, His life is our promised land. Now, it's Him. Without Him, we can't do anything. But if you've been born again, Him is in you. Him is in you. But it's by faith. Now, notice what it does not say. It does not say, I put Christ in you, I'm going to force His life on you. See, we'd rather have it that way, wouldn't we? See, because that's what happened at our new birth. Really, if you want to know the truth about it, Adam's life, Adam's death, but yet I'm talking about that spirit that come in you. That death life. Adam's death life. It was forced on you, wasn't it? Do you ever notice the devil, boy? I mean, he enforced it too, didn't he? Every time you'd even try and think you were okay, you found out real quick you weren't. You know, and that's the whole purpose of the law, like Dave says, you know. Well, I'm a thoroughbred. You're a mule. No, I'm not. I'm a thoroughbred. I'm a champion. You're a mule. Here, we'll open the starting gate. Here's a bunch of thoroughbreds. You run with them. Within the first few feet, even the mule has to say, I'm a mule. God gives the law, says you're a sinner. No, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like that Pharisee, you know. I'm not like other men. I give tithes of all, and I fast 3 days a week. You know? He says, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Try and keep the law. I'm not a sinner. You are a sinner. Keep this. Thoroughbred, let's see you run this race. You find out pretty quick. I'm a sinner. And the only way a mule could ever become a thoroughbred, you can't train it out of him. You can't educate it out of him. The mule trying harder will never make him a thoroughbred. The mule would have to be born all over again. God knew that about sinners too. He says that life was forced on them, that death life from Adam. They didn't have a choice. I'm going to give them a choice. I'm going to send my Son package. He is life. I'm going to package Him in human flesh. And He's going to come and I'm going to lay it out for them for 3.5 years. I want them to see what life is. They'll always have this record of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'll know what life looks like. What does life look like? Jesus Christ. Would you like some word on that? Real quick, go over to 1 John. We're going to let you go here in just a few minutes. At least that's my plan. First John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now look. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But you see what John is saying? He's saying, I saw the life. It was with the Father. You couldn't find it on earth before He came. There wasn't any such life. Every son of Adam was born with that death nature in him. We had no pattern. We didn't even know what life should look like. But I have seen that life. I've touched Him. I've talked with Him. I've traveled with Him. And I'm writing this to make known unto you that life. Isn't that something? He is the life. And, oh God, there's so much. I want to tell you one other little thing and we're going to close. Let me tell you what's coming. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's coming. Something, I'm going to read it right off the page. If I can find it quickly. I've got a big long lesson here that I was going to read tonight, which will have to be another night. Let me show you. Now, if you want to hear, you know, God's definition of hope again, what has been is not what shall be. This whole lesson here, He's teaching about this life, which is our inheritance. He says, my children have become so accustomed to affliction and to mourning and to hopelessness that on those occasions when they have received the smallest measures of joy and peace from my spirit, they have tended to camp there and set up monument stones by writing books giving testimony, as though they had received the fullness of my measure of grace to them. How sad. How sad. How my heart grieves over the smallness of the heart of their Father in their sight. Now get this phrase. I intend for my children to possess continents of joy and oceans of peace. That sounds like abundance of something. That sounds like abundance of joy and abundance of peace, which is only going to come as we possess the abundance of that life. Did not my son say that his joy was to be in you? Did not my son say that his peace was to be your peace? The land of inheritance is vast, enormous, beyond the capacity of the carnal mind to comprehend it. But I have set this life, talking about Christ, I have set this life to be inherited before you in the image of my Son, that you may behold His glory and with possessive hope and words of faith possess the land as my Spirit drives out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Before this is over, there's going to be some people in this very building and in the sound of my voice that are going to receive the abundance of this grace. And the rest of that verse says, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And if you can do that, it says, you will reign, R-E-I-G-N, like a king. You shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How many of y'all are candidates to receive the abundance of that grace? Father, teach us how to inherit the land. Raise your hands, ask Him. Ask Him yourself. Father, I want to receive the abundance of grace. You've made it available. Teach me how to possess the land, Father. I want to possess the abundance of grace. I want to reign in life by Him. Teach me how to appropriate it. Teach us how to possess this land, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited about what's coming. I am excited about what's coming. Now say this after me. Did it sound okay to you? Now faith is the Now faith is the substance of Christ in me. Can I say it? Let's say it kind of loud. Make the devil real nervous. Say, my faith. Is the very substance of Christ in me.
Of Christ in me.
Substance means real.
Means real.
My faith.
My faith.
Makes Christ in me.
Real to the devil.
Hallelujah. Boy, if we ever get that, and I mean get it, Christ in me. Get that. Now, he already told me, which I didn't get to read this. We'll do it another night. But he says, step one is not the same. I thought it was. Y'all know me. No, no. Step one is the seeing. Step one. Remember, he took Abram out to look at the stars first. You got to change what's on the inside of you. We got to change the image on the inside of us. That's what I'm saying about Andy there, see? We just look at Andy. You know, and if Andy looks at Andy, he looks in the mirror, he goes, I ain't got no natural evidence. There ain't no natural evidence that Christ is going to do nothing through me. See? So you got to quit looking at that. That's like Abram looking at the empty crib. All of us have got to quit doing that. And what we have to see, and I mean this takes work, you're going to have to see Christ stand up like an image, come to full stature on the inside of each and every blessed one of us. And you say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how bad I messed up. Christ is in me, and my faith is the substance of Christ in me. When I lay my hands on the sick, the substance of Christ flows from my spirit, through my arm, down my fingertips, and the very anointing and life of Christ Himself goes into those people. My faith is my substance of Christ in me. Woo! That's better than believing for a new car. Glory to God. And it'll work for that too, but, you know, I see the progression here. That's fine. You can use your faith for whatever you need. But ultimately, the image God has provided for us, the very image of life, to be inherited by you. Ooh, glory to God. I can't wait to hear the next part of this. Anyway, y'all get blessed. Father, I do thank you so much. And Father, you know we've done our best to try and follow exactly what you wanted to do tonight. I thank you for touching those people, Lord. Father, we're just looking to you because we don't have any other path. No one's blazed this trail in front of us, Father. But we thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We thank you for the leadership and the shepherd that you've given us, Father. Father, we thank you for blessing him where he is tonight and using him mightily. Thank you for bringing him back safe to us. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Before I dismiss, Father, is there anything else? Yeah? Tell them I love them. I have an announcement. The Father loves you. Hallelujah. Say it after me. Say, the Father.
Father.
He loves me.
He loves me.
Gary told me so. He wouldn't lie about it. The Father loves me. Turn to your neighbor. Say, the Father loves me. I don't know about you, but He loves me. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you came with a specific prayer request,